Welcome. Today is Sunday, October 11th, 2020, and you are listening to the online worship service of the Petaluma United Methodist Church. Thank you for being here.
Welcome, my friends, to our worship podcast for Petaluma United Methodist Church. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I have the happy privilege of serving as the pastor of this church. This week, we begin a three-week focus on stewardship as we seek to invite commitments of time, resources, and talent for the ministry of Jesus Christ in this faith community. I want to ask you to take time in the coming weeks to contemplate the powerful ministries that this congregation, United Methodist Church, participates in around the globe. Your continuing and even increasing support literally saves lives. It saves souls. It offers much needed help in numerous and almost countless situations, from disaster relief right here in our own neighborhood to schools, hospitals, and clinics around the globe. Your church is on the move. So as we ponder this season of commitment, let us find our quiet center as we hear the call to worship.
Please join me in our call to worship. Our faith transforms us. Our participation in Christian community transforms us. But make no mistake, it is by God's grace that this transformation takes place. Come, let us embrace the grace. Come, let us open ourselves to transformation in worship and ministry. Let us join together in our call to confession. Our confession comes not because it is compelled or coerced. Our confession pours out because our hearts have been transformed by God's grace. And in the wake of this grace, we are moved to speak truth to our Maker. Come, let us confess our sins. Holy and wonderful God, your amazing grace, your unearned, unmerited love comes at us from every direction, surrounding us with a deep and powerful sense of acceptance, a consuming sense of being loved. We confess, Lord, that we run from this grace. We confess, Lord, that we hide from your love, fearful of the change of the transformation it will bring. We confess too, Lord, that we do not feel worthy. Yet we know that this love comes to us anyway. Whether we run, hide, or cower in our own fearful world, your grace does not go away. And in it all, God, we are grateful. Forgive us for not reaching eagerly for this grace. Have mercy on us when we flee the transforming power of your love. Give birth in us a willingness to be changed inside and out, and unlock our hearts that we might offer this same love to others. In the name of your Son, Jesus, we pray. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, forgiveness comes to us all wrapped up in grace. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we all receive an unbelievable forgiveness and chance at new life. Amen.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Philippians. I urge Euodia and I urge Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. And yes, I ask you also, my loyal companion, help these women, for they have struggled beside me in the work of the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my co-workers, whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
I'm reading from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From now on, therefore, we regard no one from a human point of view. Even though we once knew Christ from a human point of view, we know him no longer in that way. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. This ends the reading for this Sunday.
Dear sisters and brothers, siblings in Christ, I greet you this morning in his name. Friends, today marks the beginning of our annual stewardship campaign. For the next 3 weeks, I'll be exploring stewardship focus of transformation in our lives and in our ministry. Each week, we will explore the reality of transformation first through the lens of grace, which is today's focus. Then we will look at transformation as it is brought about by faith. And finally, will look at transformation as it is shaped and energized by love. Now, at the end of these 3 weeks, we're going to ask you to make a pledge to Petaluma United Methodist Church. And this is a pledge, let us be transparent here, clearly, of your financial resources, because the ministry of Jesus requires resources as we seek to grow, to be the church, to build the kingdom of God in a challenging day. And while your financial commitment is important, this is a holistic asking. This is a time when we all step into the ministry of transformation as we offer our gifts of time, talent, spirit, resources, and overall commitment. We'll be sending out pledge cards and other materials for your prayerful consideration. I know already about your generosity and your commitment to this church, so I begin this process inspired, humbled, and grateful to be on this journey with you. Would you pray with me? Holy and beautiful God, as we come this day to place our whole lives in your hands, help us, we pray, to nourish generous hearts and compassionate spirits. Help us to hear the word not just with our minds, but with our whole being, and knit us together, we pray, so that wherever we may be, we are one in your Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I mentioned just a moment ago that we're going to be spending the next few weeks thinking together about transformation. And I want to begin by noting that the phrase, slogan, or the theme of our United Methodist Church is making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And the dictionary says that transformation is a change or alteration, especially a radical one. And for our purpose today, we're looking at this radical change as it is fueled by grace. Indeed, our sermon title today is just that, Transformed by Grace. So I'd like to take some time to unpack these terms. Let's begin with transformation. Our passage today from 2 Corinthians is powerful and is centered in this notion. Yet in reading this text, we hear about being reconciled to God. Reconciled as though we had some sort of a quarrel with God, reconciled as though God was mad at us and we need somehow to make up with him pretty darn quick. And indeed, there's a whole theological tradition rooted in that. But the interesting thing here is that the Greek word that got translated into the English word reconciliation, that Greek word is, are you ready for this now? It's katalage. You want to try and say that with me? Katalage. And my friends, this shows us the vagaries of scripture and translation and the various perspectives of people doing the translating. Because you see, the word katalage doesn't really mean reconciliation. It means complete and thorough change. It means transformation. In other words, if we read back through this passage from 2 Corinthians, we are called to a ministry of transformation, a ministry of utter and thorough metamorphosis of spirit, life, and relationship. So this gets interesting, at least for me, because I'd wager that most of us, well, I'll speak for me alone, aren't all that interested in being totally transformed. Most of us tend to get cozy with the way things are, and we resist even small changes, let alone complete transformation. And the words from our text really go there for us. If anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See? See? Everything has become new. So as we step into this stewardship season, as we call it, friends, God is lifting us up to look at things that can bring transformation to fruition in our own lives and in the lives of our church. And one of the things that changes you, my friends, is grace. We can be transformed, utterly changed by grace. You know the hymn, right? Amazing Grace. Well, what is grace really? And how could it have so much power to change or transform? You see, for we Methodists who participate in a tradition begun by John Wesley, for us, grace is a key theological concept, and it was for Wesley. Grace is the love of God which comes to us always and ever. It comes without regard to whether we deserve it or have earned it. Indeed, God's love is such that you cannot earn it. You are quite simply and powerfully loved, no matter how much of a stinker you might be. God just loves you exactly as you are, and God won't stop loving you. And we believe that that kind of love just keeps coming, and as it keeps coming, it has the power and the capacity to transform. Now, I remember as a pastor in New York City, we had an extensive ministry with homeless folks. We started a homeless shelter right in the downstairs of the parsonage. Some of these people had seen some pretty hard times, and it could sometimes make them, a little grumpy, difficult, or even downright nasty. But we, as a church, as we prayed and met and planned about this, decided that no matter what, these people who froze, literally froze on the streets, who had no one or no place to go to, these people deserved God's love, and the way they were going to get it was through us, even if on a given evening they weren't particularly lovable. So, friends, we started out a campaign of grace, of unearned, unmerited love to some folk in pretty desperate circumstances. And I don't want to be cute here, but this wasn't an easy lift. And every afternoon before we opened the homeless shelter, we would pray for courage, for strength, for gentleness. We would pray for God's love to flow through us and to these folks who had suffered so much. Well, after a while, after some weeks and months of loving, of gentle caring and acceptance, I saw change begin to happen. First, I didn't believe it, but I really did see it. I saw hearts melted, minds altered. I saw anger transformed to compassion and cynicism morphed into love and trust. It was the real article. It was a miracle. Grace, that is, unearned, unmerited, unrelenting love, changes things. It changes hearts and minds. It transforms spirits and inspires new beginnings. These folks, these guys, most of them were Vietnam veterans on the streets. These folks found new life as they were transformed by a love that would not give up on them, a love that wouldn't quit. Understand, please, that as a church community, we weren't by any means perfect Christians. Far from it. We weren't exemplary, in fact, in much, except that we were stubborn, persistent in pouring out God's love. You see, we ourselves are or can be transformed by this unbelievable love, by this grace. We're not merely conduits, but benefactors of this legacy of love. I mean, have you ever experienced something like this? Unearned love? This flood of wonder that comes even or perhaps especially when you don't deserve it? I don't know who it was for you or how it happened. Maybe it was your parents. Maybe it was an uncle or a brother or a friend. Or maybe one can hope it was in your church community. This scripture from Second Corinthians calls us to be reconciled or transformed, and the grace that ignites such change is described for us in the passage from Philippians, isn't it? Paul writes, "Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is anything worthy of praise, think on these things. Keep doing these things, and the God of peace will be with you." Keep doing these things. These are the instruments of grace, of love that flows in and around us. And Paul keeps up his pressure on us and calls the church not to be known by our rules or doctrines, but by our gentleness, by the abundant grace that comes from this God whose very name and substance are love. Wow. Such a beautiful calling is ours. Really. In tough and difficult days, such as the ones we're going through now, it's possible for us to lose sight of this grace that comes to us and through us, to a world that so badly needs love, whether it's earned or not. And here's that powerful thing. We, as we practice grace upon grace, as we spread this love extravagantly around like too much jam on an English muffin, we will be part of the transformation of people literally around the world. And you know, in this process, we ourselves are changed, transformed, made new in our relationship with God and one another. We, our church, our community, our world can be transformed by grace, by our willingness to give love in the many, many shapes it can take. So let's remember, my friends, that we are indeed ambassadors for Christ, calling ourselves and others to be transformed by grace, by love, by an ever-flowing stream of wonder, joy, healing, and new life. Amen. Let us pray. Holy God, we invite your healing spirit to come upon us. We invite your spirit of joy and wonder to seize us. We invite your whole presence into our lives and into the fabric of this community of faith. For God, there are those among us who are suffering. God, there are those of us who are struggling with illness. There are those of us who are struggling as we age and try to find ways to move forward as best we can. There are those of us, God, who are wrestling with broken relationships, those who are engaged in difficult enterprises. And God, we need your presence, your sense of accompanying grace as we walk through these days. And so we pray. We're bold enough to ask, God, that each one of us be allowed to feel the power of your transforming presence. Help us to know that you walk with us every step of the way, and help us always to be your people, your church, in the blessed name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi. Me varoro taki ne damuni. Me adomaina nomuni matintu. Me dagana lomamuni burbura. Me bakasa dagamelo malang. Nisile me vikimami ne singongo na kaka ne rutikimami. Ne bokoda manda ne ne me miradala. Me bakaki me misambokoda. Were sa dagadala vikimami. Ne kaku ni kotikimami gine vere. Kamuni vambuli kema me manada. Nisa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua. Kina langi langi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those that trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Well, this is a time when we think clearly and imaginatively about our deeper call to stewardship as we imagine being transformed by grace. I want to invite you to continue your prayers, and I hope that you feel led to make a powerful commitment to this church as we work so hard to be church in this time. And I invite you to fill out your pledge card as it comes to you, to pray. You may write a check, certainly, and send it to the church. You may also go online and donate, or you can drop it by yourself and put it in our mailbox. And however you do this, know, friends, that we're not just here to kind of raise money for fun. We are, each of us in this Christian community, absolutely committed to working together to be the presence of God's love in Petaluma, to be the presence of God's love across Sonoma County and across the United States through our United Methodist ministries and even around the globe. So I'm grateful for your generous spirits, grateful for the way you all step up. Thank you in advance for all that you do. Would you pray with me now? O God of grace and God of glory, on your people pour your power. Crown your ancient church's story and bring its bud to glorious flower. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour. God, the words to this hymn which we are about to sing together echo down the years and call us to wisdom and courage, and in this season call us to a new kind of imaginative generosity. We ask and invite your Spirit to provoke us, to hold us, to nudge us as we go forward to dedicate our gifts of time, talent, and resources to the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now hear these words of benediction. May the God of love go with you and surround you. May the spirit of wonder and childlike joy infuse your being. And in all things, may you feel the presence of the one who loves you endlessly, with grace upon grace, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.